On this episode of Data Tsunami and a Tempo Customer Story, protecting the assets of a legendary practical effects house. Oscar-nominated and Emmy-winning Legacy Effects is responsible for bringing to the screen the most iconic characters of all time, from E.T. to Baby Yoda and many others in between and after. We sit down with IT manager David Castinez and studio manager Damon Weathers to talk about how Atempo has helped them protect their most precious assets.
Legacy Effects is a longtime customer of Atempo with our Tina Time Navigator product.
That's correct.
Talk a little bit about how that's deployed and how you guys utilize it and how it helps you out.
As many organizations have a need of this with a variety of different scenarios like disaster recovery and ransomware, we have a relatively robust backup infrastructure to ensure that if we have an incident, we can recover from it. And that's really how we've engaged with Atempo with their Time Navigator product. We've been a long-time customer. We've had an infrastructure that was in place for quite some time, around the time of our founding in 2008. So, you know, the software has been in place and our backup routines have been relatively straightforward. We have a focus on on-prem backups. We back up to a tape library. So we're able to maintain an air gap between our data sets. And that's something that Time Navigator has been utilized for a long time. For us, it's been very stable and very much a concrete part of our infrastructure. When I stepped in, you know, as many IT administrators will do, they'll kind of review where we're at infrastructure-wise and kind of get stuff up to speed. We've been in lockstep with Atempo support to kind of make sure that as we move forward with system upgrades, that Tina gets carried along just as it always has.
Talk about Atempo support a little bit, because I know that you have been complimentary of our support, and I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, absolutely. Harkening back to my comments on getting our infrastructure kind of up to speed, some of the challenge that a lot of IT administrators can face in any organization is lack of documentation from the prior IT administrator. While we've had some great systems deployed, it's not necessarily straightforward on how we implement it. This is where I feel that Atempo support has gone above and beyond. Anytime I've interacted with support, they've had an answer. Even if they needed a little bit of time to kind of review our particular environment and to get us to where we needed to be to make sure that our backups were consistent, we were able to make adjustments appropriately on our backup windows, Atempo support has been there. And it's been critical for us. We have a wide variety of different technology vendors that we rely on. Not all of them are associated with our backup infrastructure, but I would say out of all the vendors that we have that we work with on a regular basis, Atempo support has been top-notch and at the very least part of the top three vendors that we use. And in particular, I want to highlight the fact that when we work with a vendor, be it backup or email or whatever services we're using, at least the way I approach it is we want a partnership. We want to be able to interact with support or a vendor in a way where we don't feel like we're just having to go through what I would call tier one support. Maybe someone who doesn't understand exactly what we're asking for. We've never felt that way with Atempo. Each time we interact with support, they know our environment. They look at our caseload. They can pinpoint it or, you know, at the very least, they're looking carefully at our logs. Not many support professionals or support organizations do that, in my opinion. Maybe I'm a little perhaps biased because I've done support for a large segment of my career, but it's a rarity these days, and it's something that I certainly appreciate.
That is so great to hear. I'm curious about your workflow in general. Tell me a little bit about your production workflow, if you would.
I would say some of the common workflows or main workflows we deal with are our users and our file server. You know, we are very sensitive to the needs of our clients and ensuring that we maintain our non-disclosure agreements and ensure we have a secure environment. And part of that is making sure that a lot of the content we're dealing with or exclusively for certain clients is on-prem and making sure that we're utilizing an on-prem file server. And this is something that Atempo's product fit in nicely. some other backup vendors have a tendency to try to establish service billing based on how large your data sets are. Tempo's never done that to us. So for us, maintaining our file server as it is and ensuring that we have enough room to grow and that that growth is covered by a Tempo without being unnecessarily billed from our perspective is a breath of fresh air. So for that particular main workflow where we've got a set of designers, we have our video production team doing perhaps behind the scenes work or the daily captures, looking through a project, we have a lot of people making changes to our files infrastructure, and making sure that we have timely backups of that data is critical. And it's been one of those things when, outside of those rare instances where we have had to work with support, the system just works. Tina does what it's supposed to do when it's supposed to do it. And what's truly nice, I feel, about the interface and the software is if something does go wrong, it clearly tells us what happened. We have logging that'll tell us, okay, this stopped. Maybe we lost connectivity to the network. And with those types of messaging, it helps me as the IT administrator dive in, understand what happened, take corrective action, and then simply resume that job. And it picks right up where it left off.
You're listening to Data Tsunami from Atempo, global leader and trusted provider of data management software solutions for over 25 years. Our solutions protect, store, move, and recover mission-critical data sets for thousands of companies and organizations worldwide. Visit atempo.com for more information.
David, can you walk us through kind of a day in the life of LegacyFX?
It is such a project-by-project basis. The most that'll come in is, it's as simple as an inquiry from a producer or a studio head asking about this movie or this show is getting done. It could be so bare bones as all we have is a script. We don't have any breakdowns. We don't even know what we're asking for, but we need you to go over it and tell us what we can pull out of this in the practical world. Now, we as a company, we have a very long history in the practical effects world, dating back with the owners and a lot of the key artists here that go back to the Stan Winston studio days.
We should mention the origins of the company. I think people will be interested in that.
The history with the studio, we have four owners, John Rosengrant, Alan Scott, Lindsay McGowan, and Shane Mahan. I got to give them a shout out, of course. They were supervisors for Stan Winston at Stan Winston Studio. John and Shane having been with him since Terminator 1, John a little bit earlier, actually, maybe on a show called Manimal. And then, and Lindsay coming on during Aliens, the sequel, and then Alan coming on during T2. But they were with Stan for, 20, 25 years. And unfortunately, due to his untimely passing, the studio has to close down. And you've got 100, 150 artists and three large features at the time that weren't completely done yet. They were working on Terminator Salvation. They were working on Avatar, a couple of other small things. So they opened up Legacy, in his legacy, if you will. And everything kind of continued here. So a lot of that artistic integrity that we like to keep, no matter what the project is the same methodology and the same kind of secret sauce that we use here. A lot of that DNA from that studio is here, just a little bit more on the forefront of technology. We try to stay ahead of the game. They were utilizing 3D printing 10 years before anybody else in the city was, taking it from aerospace, taking it from dentistry and other industries. With their rich history in the industry, a lot of the contacts that reach out to us are usually contacts that we already know, that they may have already fostered a relationship with back at Stans. In some cases, it's definitely new clients that we've built the rapport with over the last 12 years of our being open, going on 13 years now, I think about it. So it could be something as simple as a studio head reaching out, as far as what a day-to-day would be. Could be something as simple as a studio head reaching out, wanting guidance on how to achieve something within their script and their film, or their television show, or their commercial. And in other instances, Shape of Water is probably a good example. We had built a rapport with Guillermo del Toro during Pacific Rim. So naturally, he was here speaking about a different project, and he brings up Shape of Water to Shane and Lindsay, and I happened to be in the room, which was kind of cool. It was really just a fly on the wall. the way he kind of pitches the project is, you know, I've got this small black and white indie film. Think of it as a student film. And, it, you know, if anybody would have told us at the time that was the most important film of his career, we would have said you were crazy. And, you know, but there's just, again, it's project by project basis. So it really just depends on the project, who we're speaking to. You know, and in some instances, we will have, The Mandalorian is probably a good example. There's so many relationships within that production team that we already have had since Stans, with a lot of the producers, a lot of the production designers, a lot of the VFX people at ILM, and Jon Favreau, of course. If it's something we're already on, it's really just chugging away and trying to hit the date that we're having to back into. And nowadays, every production is budget has gone down, time has gone down, you know, COVID be damned, everything is completely shrunk. So we have to find new ways to deliver and deliver at the same quality, just faster and on a smaller budget. So because of that, a lot of the back end stuff, like the tempo stuff with Dave and other vendors that we have, whenever that works seamlessly, and this is to try and find a way to weave this in, when that works as seamless as it does with Dave, and I've been privy to a lot of the back and forth, it really helps out on that side. There's 10 other lines of communication and other doorways that are opening just behind him that completely slam if something breaks on the front end. And it's stuff that he doesn't even think about sometimes that I have to shore up on the back end, or we have to make sure is working. You know, there's always that 20 extra steps behind what you're seeing in front of you that sometimes we don't even see. And when that works seamlessly, that just helps out so much further down the line, and it helps out the day to day. Really, it does.
How has the pandemic affected you guys, other than the obvious? I'm just sort of curious in terms of, we're hearing a lot about everything, production's coming back. How is this affecting the company in general for the next couple years? Oh, is this a tough, you guys both smiled when I asked this. I think I hit a raw nerve.
No. You're right. Productions are coming back. They're not just easing back in. It was a complete storm.
Wow. Okay, that's great to hear.
It's good. At least for us, I can speak for us. We had a lot of projects that were start and stop, and we were back and forthing. And, you know, we reopened in June. We've actually had no issues since then. All our protocols and procedures have been in place. Everybody's been following them. We're in our own little bubble, you know, knock on wood, but everything is gone well. And we've been back and forth from set with our crew. We've got several shows that were starting up in June through September that were, you know, maybe we're going to start here, maybe we're not. And next thing you know, you've got 20 projects hanging over your head that are just, okay, when are they going to say go? And at one point, everybody in Hollywood just said go. So we're at a point where we've actually turned down a few things because of the bandwidth, while still having to adhere to COVID guidelines. So we're technically understaffed. We don't have enough people right now simply because we're not allowed to have that many in the building. But this might be the busiest we've been in the 12 years we've been open. And it's a good problem to have, but it's definitely tough. I can say, without giving too much detail, I believe we have 2 feature films shooting now. We're working on 3 others in-house. And we have 3 television shows shooting. I'm sorry, 2 shooting, 3 working on in-house. And we haven't even been able to take on a commercial in the last few months. And we used to do 120 to 150 a year. It's definitely affected us in a weird way, in the sense that, you know, we had to shut down. And the ramp up was, we thought was going to be gradual. It just kind of happened overnight. And now we're slammed.
Well, that's great.
To some of Damon's points there, I think from the IT perspective, it can be an interesting kind of deluge of requests. When the pandemic hit, the studio was definitely impacted. And it's a situation where it's like you go from being quite busy, feeling overwhelmed, to, you know, the shutdown of everything. And so when, from an administrative perspective, you have to ensure that these systems continue to run uninterrupted. So for my role, a lot of it was just remotely checking in, making sure, okay, is the stuff still running the way it's supposed to? You know, making sure that, you know, tapes weren't filling up, things of that nature. Again, to talk about the stability of the system, it's not like we ran into problems there. But of course, it can kind of lead you to become a little bit complacent. When the systems are being stressed and when things can go awry, you have to be able to have that flexibility of, okay, I have a request come in and it's coming in now and I need to get it done. I recall one of the first few requests that I'd received, which is part of my day-to-day, is we have a repository of previous projects we've worked on before. And from the perspective of our file server, it doesn't necessarily make sense to keep that on that. So we do archive some of our older data sets. And we do utilize Tina for that. And so having that archive available and knowing that, okay, if I have a request come in from a user that says, hey, I need to look back at this project we worked on 5 years ago, and we've archived that to tape, I need to be able to dive in. Time Navigator, very specific on being able to look at specific periods of time, and it has our shares mapped out. So we can clearly see, okay, we know that this was a feature film, and we have a project within that feature film that carried that content. So I can drill down and see the exact content that's available. I think that's a perfect example of how we utilize Tina and why it's been critical. If the system wasn't reliable and we had those requests, with how quick our turnaround times are, which across the industry is, you know, across all companies, they want it now, now, now. But for particularly for media and entertainment, it's very, very compressed timelines. So if a design person or modeler can't get that reference material within a day or sooner, even if I can, you know, scramble to look at something, you know, maybe on a competing solution or another issue, too much time passes, I have to, they're going to abandon the request.
Yeah.
So I have to ensure that we're on top of things. So responsiveness and stability are something that are critical for our environment.
Huge.
And for all those items that Damon talked about for how our business works, the way that I feel about it, and I feel that a lot of IT professionals kind of subscribe to this, the operations that I'm managing should be seamless. None of this should be impactful to the business. They shouldn't even know what's happening.
They should be any of the wiser, exactly.
Yeah, I've heard phrasing that said, you know, if an IT person is doing their job, you don't even know. It should just be working. Finding partners that can help us achieve that has been critical to our success, and we do feel that Atempo has been a big part of that, post-pandemic and otherwise.
You've been listening to Data Tsunami, a podcast from Atempo, leading manufacturers of data management solutions. If you like what you heard here, please come to our website, atempo.com, where you can follow our social media feeds as well as our blog and get every monthly episode of the Atempo podcast, Data Tsunami. If you'd like to suggest a topic for the show, please contact sarah.mason@atempo.com. Thanks for listening.